Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey friends, welcome to Millennial Money Podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Compton Game, and I get to chat with some super inspiring people who will inspire us all to get up, take back our bank accounts, and chase after the life we want to live. And honestly, I cannot wait for you to hear this interview with Daniel. He's got this new book, Don't Save for Retirement, and it offers a unique way to think about retirement that is somewhat counterintuitive to how we've been taught about retirement, but I feel it is definitely what retirement is going to look like for us all. And hint, it's unlike your parents and definitely unlike your grandparents' version of retirement.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
You're already one of our biggest fans of the pod, but I want to invite you to go deeper behind the scenes with me every single month. Get all the scoops on what I'm loving, catch up on popular podcast episodes, and check out a video with a money tip in each monthly email delivered straight to your inbox. Plus, since I'm a big fan of having dessert first, I'm going to send you an exclusive bonus podcast episode, 5 minutes to reset your money mindset when you sign up as an added treat. Head over to mmoneypodcast.com and enter your email address in the box on the homepage to sign up. Again, that's mmoneypodcast.com. I can't wait to see you behind the scenes. Let's be real. If you look at the stats about retirement savings, they aren't good. A recent article in Motley Fool that I found points out that 1 in 3 Americans have less than $5,000 in retirement savings. And I get it, right? We're all just trying to pay for our houses and our cars and our student loans and have some cash to travel. And of course, we gotta have some fun. So when I got a copy of Daniel's new book, I knew you needed to hear what he has to say. I don't want to spoil any of the thunder because this is seriously such a good chat, but Daniel thinks there are 3 reasons why retirement will look different, and I agree with all 3. Number 1, passive income is the key to your financial freedom. Number 2, there is an overspending epidemic, and we're all a part of it. And number 3, our investing strategy simply sucks and is stuck in the 80s.
You know, I was reading your new book, Don't Save for Retirement. And as I was reading it this weekend, I kept saying out loud, yes, totally, exactly. And my husband kept looking at me like I was crazy. So needless to say, I was very excited to chat because I think we're very much in line in how we think. But I don't want to pull any punches. And I just want to start out with kind of a big question. So are you saying that the traditional way that we're taught to save for retirement is not working? Or even maybe it's a scam.
I don't know if it's a scam because I think the intentions are pure, were good to help people save money, to help people plan ahead. But certainly I think the results are in for retirement. It is a relatively new idea, especially the way we actually apply it. And, age 65 or the 401ks, which have only been around since really implementation was the 1980s legislation passed in the late 70s. And, you know, if you look at how it worked out for the baby boomers, who essentially had the best bond market, best real estate market, best housing market. Exactly. And here we are, according to Vanguard, the median account holder, 65 and up for a 401k is $58,000. And and that's actually one of the better numbers out there. There are some much worse numbers out there for the average 50-year-old, 55-year-old, 60-year-old. So in my opinion, saving for retirement has spectacularly failed the baby boomers. And I don't think the millennials have a chance if they apply that. If they apply a failed practice on a new economy, it's going to work out even worse for them. You know, the generation that it worked out for was the first generation that really tried it. Yeah, and of course, exactly. Because that's how it always works. I mean, look at the first person who put in to Social Security. They did about $28.50, and then they proceeded to pull out $50,000.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way anymore. Wow, that's amazing. And I think it begs like so many questions because if you look at any of the big websites, I mean, you're just inundated with articles about you need to be saving for retirement, you need your 401k, you need your IRA. I mean, it's endless. You know, what do you think is broken still that we're attached to this old way of retirement savings?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people and the financial industry is conditioned us into believing that we have to reallocate our money to Wall Street, that somehow owning 100% paper asset portfolio is going to be a diversifier. And we've completely ignored income. Now, if you look at the way the rich invest, and I mean the world's richest people or even the largest institutions like insurance and banking, they focus on preservation and they focus on cash flow.
Absolutely.
And the middle class is focused on speculation. They're hoping the money is going to grow. They're hoping that the 401k will go up, and they're even hoping they're even speculating on what their tax withdrawal rate will be because they have no idea what income taxes will be when they withdraw the money. So full-time speculators saving for retirement today, as opposed to focusing on cash flow. And I think there's an opportunity cost for a lot of people. Money that they're putting away into a 401k. They don't plan on touching it for 30 or 40 years. And they could be buying things that actually mail them a check this month that pay them every month or pay them every quarter. Things that actually enhance the quality of your life during your younger years, as well as preparing a financial moat and independence for you when you're older, or even now when you're younger, if you want to do a part-time job or do a hobby job, if you can focus on investing and buying up and accumulating cash flow. But so many people have become easily conditioned into just focusing on this retirement scheme, when in reality, the retirement is working out really well for all the mutual fund industries. We've seen an explosion. There's more mutual funds than there are stocks. And so retirement is a huge cash cow for Wall Street and the financial services industry.
Gosh, it really makes you think about it in a different way. And thinking back of, I'm a certified financial planner. So thinking back of clients that I've worked with over, 10, 12 years, the ones that were the wealthiest, they didn't retire in the quote unquote normal way, meaning that their 401k or their IRA or their Roth was almost like pocket change to them. They just didn't see it as the method or the asset, I should say, that is going to carry them for the rest of their lives. And so I think what you're saying is so fascinating because it goes along with that same premise. So if the focus then is on cash flow, what are some of the ways that we, even maybe on a limited budget, could focus more on cash flow?
Yeah, I would tell anybody who's just starting out or saying, hey, I only have $25 extra a month. I would say the first thing you do to increase your cash flow and start investing in passive income is actually cut spending. And I don't mean like switching your checking account and, switching your credit cards and saving or not drinking coffees. I mean like really cut spending. Most people are living in an unsustainable situation in the sense that they have a 7 to 8 year financed vehicle. They have credit card debts. They're living in a place that, perhaps is, the expenses are one third or half of their monthly sure. paycheck. So really look at, evaluate your life and what are you willing to sacrifice for the next year to 2 years in order to start building this up? Because if you can build up the cash flow to pay your bills, it will have great benefits on the quality of your life. You know, the low hanging fruit for cash flow is crowdfunded REITs. These are investments that institutions and Wall Street have been involved in forever. And now it's possible for the little guy to be part of, a crowdfunded mortgage with Pure Street. That's Brett Cosby. He's the guy who's founded Google Analytics. Sure. Dr. Michael Barry, the guy in The Big Short, played by Christian Bale. He's one of the seed investors. You've got places like Fundrise out there. These are groups that are buying. You're upgrading your assets. You have you'll have a sliver of the JW Marriott and a Costco, and those things pay you every single month. And then if you really want to get into owning direct real estate, you can use leverage and own your own duplex. I really tell people think outside of the box. Just when I tell them to cut spending, consider moving, because that is always going to be your biggest cost saver if you actually move and leave an area and to go save money. But same thing, when you're investing, don't just think of the everywhere that's within 10 minutes of your house. There's a whole world out there. There's a whole country out here that you can buy real estate from and all sorts of ways to access it. And of course, there are a lot of other cash flow ideas outside of real estate, either just loaning money, private lending. There's so many different opportunities, whether it's for vehicles or businesses or just personal consumption. There are a lot of cash flow ideas that you could involve yourself with in businesses that you might already be involved in, or a hobby that you might be involved in. There are ways to earn extra income. Forget about just passive income. There are ways to earn extra income now. I mean, you can start a business for $10 on GoDaddy. You can sell your skills. We're in a freelance economy, which is another reason to really focus on investing for cash flow. Because if you take this 1950s, 1960s model of saving and a life cycle that has you, retiring supposedly at 65, you're setting yourself up for failure in 2019. We live in a very, very much different economy. But at the same point in time, my message to millennials is embrace it. We have mobility. I actually got rid of my car in May. I've been an Uber only since May. I mean, wow. We have mobility. It's easy for us to start businesses. I mean, we live in a great world.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm super curious because there's so many gems in what you just said, but I'm thinking about we all have our own, I call it a money mindset, or how we think about money, how we get stuck in these different patterns of thinking. So how would someone even begin to make that shift from from recognizing that the old way that retirement was done is no longer serving? Like, do you have any suggestions for how you do that? Because I could imagine a lot of people are kind of like, okay, that's great, but how do I begin to do this stuff?
Well, you have to read the book, Don't Save for Retirement, to start with.
Exactly.
So, and by the way, for your listeners, if they go to futuremoneytrends.com/save, they can actually read the intro, which starts 10 years ago, my wife and I in a bankruptcy attorney's office, as well as the first chapter where I really kind of reset my brain on the definition of what wealth is. But I really think it's a life reflection. You have to start off by just, you know, how do you value your time? Whether you're in traffic or busy and not able to see your family. How do you value your time? What are the things you want to accomplish in your life? I always tell people, and I put it in the book, you know, really ask yourself, what are the three things you want people to say about you at your funeral? Because if you really think about those things, that's what you should be doing right now. That's who Wow. you are. That's your purpose. And you have to embrace that. And I look at money as a way to buy your freedom. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to quit your job at 30 years old, but maybe you will have enough cash flow or reduce your expenses with a combination of passive income that you live a life that you can perhaps do your hobby job or your hobby business your whole life, or you can work from home or be with your family or travel more. But these opportunities can open up to you if you use money as a tool. Stop thinking of it as just this number that you need to pile up big enough so that you can one day rip chunks from it when you're 70 years old, and start using it as a tool. Unfortunately, none of this is taught in school. So you really do have to, I love the question, because you really do have to actually spend some time reading, listening to podcasts like this. And then I would say, if somebody really wants to be financially independent, if you want to do this, you need to own it. You know, if I go to UC San Diego, which is down the street from where I am right now, and ask somebody, what are you going to do? They'll tell me, I'm going to be a nurse. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a lawyer, whatever they're studying. But you ask somebody who wants to be financially independent, and they might not say it because they might be embarrassed. The task seems too hard. But you know what? That's the thing. If you can't own it, it's not going to happen for you. So you need to, like, I am going to be financially independent. I used to get invited, you know, 8-9 years ago to go to like a party and like, hey, let's all rent a limo and do a wine tasting with our friends. And I would say, no, I can't. It's $150. I'm going to pass. And they would say, let me help you. And I'd say, no, it's not that I don't have the money. It's that I've made it not a priority of going on a wine tasting, because my wife and I are doing something right now. We're trying to become financially independent so we can live with our kids. We were open about it. And so I just would encourage, make the decision and then own it. And if you can, I'll just squeeze this in. Every single one of my kids' rooms, including my wife and I's, we all have statements that are in front of us. Write down why you're going to become financially free and what you're going to do. And don't let yourself hide from it in a month from now. Make yourself read it every single day. Put it on the bathroom mirror.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, EarnIt provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. EarnIt is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the EarnIt app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use EarnIn in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make EarnIn a part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me.
now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. So this is a segment I like to call Silly Facts About Money. You just never know when you might need to roll some silly facts off next date. Maybe you're having a bad next date, hanging out with your friends, your boss. You just never know. So here are 10 silly facts about money. Number one, the blue ribbon woven through the new $100 bill contains thousands of micro lenses that make the Liberty Bell appear to dance. And they also make me feel quite dizzy. But check that out. Number two, so this is really fascinating. Each color has its own physical characteristics. Green was selected for the US dollar because it's the most resistant to fading, flaking, and discoloration. I find that really interesting. Like, that's the reason that money is green. Number three, according to the Federal Reserve Bank, the average lifespan of a $50 bill is 3.7 years. Next in line is the $10 bill at 4.2 years, followed by the $5 bill at 4.9 years. Number four, the government says you'd have to fold a bill 4,000 times before it tears. I don't have the patience for this one, but if you do, please tell me what happens on the 4,001 fold. Number five, currency is 3/4 cotton and 1/4 linen. It also has small red and blue synthetic fibers woven throughout the bill. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that it was cotton and linen. Number six, if you're worth your weight in gold, the average American is worth over $3 million. Yes. Now this is one I love, right? Just give me the $3 million. Number seven, Florida leads the nation in reported identity theft with nearly 40,000 complaints last year. Okay. So my Florida listeners, what in the world is going on in Florida? Number eight. Okay, are you ready to be super grossed out here? Because I was very grossed out. Studies show that on average, dollar bills host more bacteria per centimeter than toilet seats. Yes, yes, you heard that right. Okay, I'm going to go wash all my bills after this episode. Number nine. Martha Washington is the only woman whose portrait has appeared on a U.S. currency note. It appeared on the face of a $1 silver certificate in 1886 and 1891, and then the back of a $1 silver certificate in 1896. Now, what is the deal? Come on, we need more women here. Number 10. And here's one I just think you can really impress your friends with. The Lincoln penny is the only coin in which the figure faces right. I mean, I didn't know. Money is money. I don't examine it like this. But now you have 10 silly facts you can just roll off your tongue. You know that business idea that you've had that is lurking in your head? I think it's time you breathe some life into it and make it a reality. Take it from me, someone who's been creating business ideas for over 20 years now. For me, it all starts with a name. What are you going to call your new business idea or company? Once you've got a stellar name in mind, head quickly over to Bluehost.com to register your URL and set up your website hosting before someone else snags your amazing name. I have over 25 URLs registered on Bluehost, just in case I want to use them in the future. And what I love about Bluehost is how affordable it is to register your domain and get your website up and running fast. With my special URL, bit.ly/BluehostMoney, you can register your domain name and set up hosting for your website all for only $3.95 a month. That's less than a cup of coffee to start building your business empire. Again, head on over to bit.ly/BluehostMoney to get this special offer.
Wow, Daniel, that's so good. I think if everyone just needs to like rewind and listen to those last like few minutes over and over and over again, because I wholeheartedly believe that exactly what you said, that's where the magic lies. But I'm curious, did you, when you were growing up, was money talked about in your family, or did you evolve into really this place of valuing financial independence?
You know, my household did not talk about money a lot. I was always fascinated by it, though. Ever since I was a boy, at 5 years old, my mom has stories of me doing crazy things. I undercut my teacher. He was selling pencils for 10 cents. I was asking my mom for pencils, and I was taking them to school selling for 9 cents.
Yeah.
Never interested in materialism, just fascinated with money. And it was always fun for me. And, you know, I enjoyed it. And of course, being financially independent, I hated people telling me what to do. And, you know, after the 08 crisis, I did have to work for 2 years and I just hated it. It actually was great because it reminded me of how much I fear having a job, not losing.
Yes.
I fear having.
Yes.
One. And, I actually dedicated chapter 9 of the book to what I teach my own children. And I was considering writing an entire book about it because it's actually something I'm very passionate about, teaching kids about money. I really wasn't taught it. And as you guys know, anybody listening to this, we weren't taught it in school either. The only thing they taught me in school, I was in a home ex class and these charts are old because I was in high school in the '90s, and these charts you assume were probably a few years before that. But the average college graduate was making 35 grand a year and the average high school graduate was making 25. And that was the teacher's pitch to go to college. And I'll never forget that day because I was like, this is crazy. I'm going to be broke no matter what. There's got to be another way. And luckily, I hit the lottery when some random person handed me a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yes. Classic. Yeah, I think everybody should have that book.
I keep them in my house stacked up. I hand them out like it's Halloween over here.
Yeah, because I think it's so hard when you're stuck in a particular situation, whether maybe your business isn't going well or you were raised in an environment where there was always lack. And so you're entered your adulthood into this lack phase of money. There's so many different examples of things that keep us stuck. But really, I think altering that and like you say, make these mantras, do whatever you need to do, because this stuff is feasible. And I think it's so easy to just have this preconceived notion that you just need a ton of cash in your bank account in order to make some of this stuff happen. And that's just not true.
No, it's not. And honestly, you have to consider, is it working out? Are people enjoying their lives? You know, poll after poll, it shows that, you know, many Americans are losing sleep over finances. And here we're all trying to keep up with each other. And I'll tell you, my wife and I, we were raised in an area where if we wanted to buy a home in 2009, this is after the crash. This is when the real estate was bottomed out. And, you know, it was $500,000 for a 1200 square foot home. And I told her, I'm like, let's get out of here. And, we moved an hour away and we lived in the desert of California for 1/5 the cost. And we dramatically cut our spending, and we were able to become financially free by making decisions like that. And now we didn't live that lifestyle permanently. I live in a great house. I have probably a 200 degree angle view of the ocean right now, the Pacific Ocean. But look, it was those decisions that I made 11, 10 years ago. And that's hard for a lot of people because they make the sacrifice. Maybe you're embarrassed about driving a $5,000 car when everybody else has a $50,000 to $100,000 car. But that it is what it is. I mean, look, I drove it when I was financially independent. I wasn't a millionaire, by the way, when I became financially independent. And I drove a 2003 Nissan Altima. When I became a millionaire, I still had that 2003 Nissan Altima. And then I had some Escalades and now I don't have any car. I mean, so you just have to really, you know, not bow down to the societal peer pressures we all face.
Yeah, this is such an important lesson. Well, I would say, like, you know, there's so much in your book. You obviously talk about passive income being this building block to wealth. What are some practical steps that you think, if somebody's listening to this today, what are some practical steps they could take to start moving in this direction and maybe creating some of these cash flow opportunities?
I would look at in the book, I have all the links and stuff for that. But I would start looking into just, first off, have an investment criteria for yourself that ask yourself, am I going to get paid? And that's kind of what my wife and I did. You know, of course, I'm like everybody else, a little bit of my portfolio has some speculative stuff, but I really 90% of our efforts, what is going to pay me? And if it doesn't pay you, don't buy it. And just keep doing that. And you watch what happens to your life in about a year when you start receiving checks. You're going to look forward to going into the mailbox because there's going to be something waiting for you. And I would start looking at things that are easy to get involved with. Now, of course, the sweet spot is if you could buy a home or a rental property, you're going to get the leverage. And I love the leverage. But let's put that aside. Look, for $25, you can get involved in Realty Mogul. Or Fundrise, or something like a Pure Street, Lending Club is out there. I mean, you're getting about an 8 to 9% yield on consumer lending. These are things that banks have historically done in credit cards for years. It works for Amex. It works for the largest insurance companies. Who, by the way, the banks and insurance companies are the ones who own these great skyscrapers, and that's what a lot of these private REITs offer. REITs offer this too. For those of you who are like, why aren't you just buying the Vanguard, whatever? But look, if you actually look at different studies on public REITs versus private REITs, there is a cost to having a stock because you have market pricing. You can liquidate it in a second, but there is a cost that they perform about 30%. There's a 30% cost on that when you look at their historical return on investment. But you know, for people who don't know what a REIT basically, they have to distribute 90% of their income, so they're saving money on taxes. But they're also making sure that those profits they get to you immediately. So that's why I do prefer that model, and I think that's the easiest thing. And those are ones that I use. There are a lot of other ones that I've gotten involved with that I've learned about from family wealth offices. But I would say for the average person who's listening who wants to start today, honestly, check out Fundrise. Check out Pure Street and check out Realty Mogul. These are asset-backed companies and they have very good quality assets, and that'll get you some cash flow right away. And then, of course, I'd highly recommend checking out Future Money Trends. It's the site I run, and anything that I'm investing in, I always share with my subscribers every Sunday.
Wow, that's good to know. I love that accessibility because I think we're if someone's just starting out, they're like, it's completely over their head. But I wanted to go back to something that you said. Everyone knows this word leverage, but why is leverage so powerful? How does leverage work to help you build wealth?
So if I put $100,000 into Fundrise today, I will receive about $10,000 in cash flow over the next year. However, I could take $100,000 and I could purchase a $500,000 apartment building, let's say fourplex. I will control $500,000 asset with $100,000. Now that $500,000 asset is still going to pay as a $500,000 asset. So you're receiving the income on a $500,000 asset as opposed to receiving the income on a $100,000 asset. So that is the simplest way to explain it to people. You know, I used to use the analogy of a stock. You can buy, you know, if you use $20,000 to buy a stock, you've got $20,000. $20,000 in real estate could buy you a $100,000 asset. Now, if the real estate goes up 10%, that's a 50% return just on appreciation, even though I'm more focused on the cash flow. But that is an easy way to look at it. If the stock was to do the same thing, it would actually have to go up 50% as opposed to going up 10%. So that's the power of leverage. And just let everybody know. So I know there's probably a lot of people sitting here going, man, that's not for me. I can't do it. My credit's messed up. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
All these excuses. Guys, check this out. I blew my credit score up in 2008. With dozens of foreclosures. I have purchased probably 40 properties over the last decade, and I have not called a bank even once. I've seller financed every single one of them. And I know everybody's like, that's not possible. Well, guess what? If you go out looking for things, things are possible.
Yeah, wow. That's like, gosh, there's so many awesome gems that you have dished in this episode. I'd love to just end with, if you could just boil something down into maybe one key money lesson that you've learned through this whole journey, what would that be?
I'll tell you this. I have it in top of our homeschool room in big, gigantic letters. And it says, only buy assets that cash flow. And that is the best thing I've learned. And I'll tell you where I learned it. In 2008, when the housing market crashed, we were down to one property, a duplex. Everything else was foreclosing, short selling. It was a disaster. And this property went from $120,000 to $65,000. It was a disaster. If you looked at it on paper, we lost 50% on the last property we had left. However, the rents went up. And that was when it dawned on me. The cash flow, if I ignore the volatility and stop perceiving volatility as risk as far as the price and started focusing on the cash flow, I could be more at peace with my life and more at peace with my income. And so that property, the rents continued to go up, and they actually really went up in 09 and 10 because a lot of homeowners came onto the rental market. So at a time when real estate was crashing, anybody who's a landlord was actually making more money because their cash flow was going up. And that's where, even when I buy stocks now, I might buy a company like Disney, and I don't care if it goes up and down because I was able to see that my perception of risk had changed. I no longer perceived volatility as risk. Volatility is something going up and down, and started looking at, does Disney pay a dividend? Yes. Is Disney safe? Now, is it safe that the stock is not going to go up and down? No. Is it safe in the sense that it's never going away, that my great-grandkids and my great-great-great-grandkids will do business with that company? Yes, it is safe. So I started looking at preservation, buying assets that will be useful to people no matter what the economic times are, and also buying assets that pay me. Because if they pay me and they're not going away, there really isn't a risk. And that goes back to Warren Buffett, who says the number one rule is don't lose money, and number two rule is don't lose money. But too many of us focus on volatility of price swings. Don't focus on that. Focus on, is this going to be around in 50 years from now? Because if it is, it's an asset worth owning. And does it pay me every month?
Yeah, that's so fascinating. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing all of this amazing information. Well, Daniel, love for you to tell listeners where they can go to pick up a copy of your book and connect with you.
I would love for them to go to futuremoneytrends.com/save. You'll see the first chapter and the intro of the book free. If you want to buy it, there's an Amazon link, of course, as well as you'll be subscribed to my free weekly wealth digest, which shares everything my wife and I are actively doing right now, as well as we'd like to pull out some funny stories and some crazy things we did along the way.
I don't know what you're thinking, but I definitely feel like Daniel's onto something here. I've always said to my friends that I think retirement's just going to look really different, if it's even a word, if it's even this thing when we're older. Because I do love the idea of doing something that I love for the rest of my life and not having to focus on saving this number in a retirement account like it's a do or die number. And that's not to say that you don't need to save money and that money doesn't grow. It's none of that. But getting fixated on having to save $1 million or $2 million or $4 million or whatever the number is, when you don't even know what life's going to look like, it's just really hard. So yes, you got to save, but I think you also have to be open to the idea that retirement might just look very, very different. It's just my two cents. Thank you so much for checking out this episode. Listen, if you love what you heard, head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review for the podcast. It's one of the best ways to show us love and just allow us to bring Millennial Money to more listeners. I'll see you back here on Friday for our next episode.